All right, Numbers chapter 14, reading one verse to begin our message tonight. That's going to be in verse 24. We've looked at Stephen, the martyr, and we looked at Tabitha. And this evening, I want to look at Caleb. We're titling this Caleb, who had another spirit. He had a different spirit from the other spies that went into the land, the promised land. And I want you to remember Romans 15:4 and studying the Old Testament, and we find that, especially with character studies, that it was written for our learning, our patience, our comfort, and our hope. Notice in verse 24, this is the Lord's testimony of Caleb. It says, "But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it." Father, thank you tonight for your word. Thank you for the privilege to be able to assemble together. Thank you for your love and mercy to us. And Lord, we ask now thy blessings upon the reading of Scripture, for it's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. We have here the story of Caleb, which gives us a clear picture of what it means to follow Christ, follow the Lord, from youth into old age, a man of faith, strength, and courage. Now, he is found in Numbers 13, Numbers 14, Joshua chapter 14 and 15. He's also found in Deuteronomy chapter 1. And we are going to only take a few passages. I'm not even going to read the whole chapters here in dealing with him. Caleb was one of the spies who entered into the promised land. Caleb had came out of Egypt with the children of Israel. He saw the Red Sea crossing. He ate the manna. He spent 40 years in the wilderness. He experienced the presence of God in the pillar by night, and the fire by night, and the pillar of cloud by day. And we find that he eventually got to go into the promised land. Now, he was a godly man who loved the Lord, and this is a wonderful commendation to him, because God says in verse 24, "But my servant Caleb." God calls him his servant. And God knows the hearts of all men and all women. And here we find a statement that the Lord says about his servant. Now let's read this again, and then we're going to back up into chapter 13 and spend a little bit of time, and then we're going to come back to this verse and talk about it. And then we'll close probably in Joshua chapter 15. Notice again, notice the things that are said. And again, we'll come back and make comments on this later. But he said in verse 24, he said, "But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land wherein he went, and his seed shall possess it." We find that Caleb was a remarkable man. When we think of the two spies that went into the land that came back with a good report, that actually entered into the promised land 40 years later, we mostly think of Joshua. We have a book given to us by that title, and Joshua became a leader among the nation of Israel. But notice now, as we turn to chapter 13, again, we're going to come back to this passage, but notice in chapter 13, and I'm coming down to verse 17. And again, I'm just going to pick out a few verses tonight. There's whole chapters that you could read, chapter 13, 14, Joshua 14 and 15, dealing with the subject matter here tonight. Now, notice with me that as we come here to chapter 13, the first 16 verses is giving us a list of the spies that would go into the land to scout out the land, the promised land. Now, the children of Israel could have had the promised land in a very short period of time, in a matter of months after leaving Egypt. But we know the story and their failure, and they spent 40 years wandering in the wilderness. What's interesting is that Joshua and Caleb is with them. They didn't sin, they didn't rebel against God, but they had to wait 40 years in order to go in and get their promise. Beginning in verse 17, there, and throughout the rest of this chapter, into chapter 14, we have many statements made concerning Caleb. And again, we find here the spies, which included Joshua and Caleb, went into the promised land to bring back a report to the nation of Israel. It says in verse 17, and by the way, another account of this is in Deuteronomy 1, verse 22 through 46. Moses recounts this story that we're reading about. He recounts the story showing their rebellion against the Lord, their evil report, and their refusal of going into the promised land. They literally refused to go in. That's why they were in the wilderness that long. Verse 17, and Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan, and said unto them, get you up this way southward, and go up into the mountain, and see the land, what it is, and the people that dwelleth there, whether they be strong or weak, few or many. In verse 19, and when the land, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what cities they be that they dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds. And what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not, and be of good courage, and bring of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the time of the first fruit of grapes. So they entered into this land. From verse 23 through verse 25, we have them returning from this 40-day journey as spying out the land. Now I want you to notice with me as we come down to verse 30 through verse 33. And again, I'm just picking out a few verses tonight. And again, you can go back and read the chapters this week if you want to see all of the details. Now we know, as we have read the scripture in the past, that 10 of these spies brought back an evil report. And I'm going to begin reading in verse 30. As they brought back this evil report, saying we can't win the battles, there's giants, there's people, large people, and so forth. We find that in verse 30, and Caleb steeled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. They're referred to as giants in verse 33, and they said that we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and we were in their sight. In other words, 10 spies bring back an evil report. But we find that Caleb and Joshua spoke up for the Lord. Verse 30, they steal the people before Moses and begin talking about the fact that we can take the land. Now, as we come down into chapter 14, notice with me as we read the first 5 verses. We see the reaction of the children of Israel when they listened to 10 spies. They would not listen to Joshua and Caleb, but they listened to the 10 spies. Now, beginning in verse 1 of chapter 14. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured. Notice they complained against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or what God had, God, we had died in the wilderness. And wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? They said one to another, let us make a captain and let us return into Egypt. And then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. So we see here that the children of Israel as a whole believed the report, the evil report is called two or three times in the scripture. It's called that in chapter 14, verse 27, and also verse 35. The majority believed the evil report of the 10 spies. Now, they had been promised the land. Moses had showed them through the word that God had given to them that they would receive this land, that they would win all of their battles, they would have victory. But they believed the 10 spies. Now, notice the reaction as we read on from verse 6 through verse 10. He says in Joshua, notice here, Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. Now think about this. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. This is the report now that Joshua and Caleb is given. And he said in verse 8, if the Lord delight in us, and of course he did, he said, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. Now, before I read any farther, well, let me go ahead and read verse 10. It says, but all the congregation bade stone them with stones, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. Now, let's back up to verse 9. From verse 6 through 10, we see again here Joshua and Caleb saying to them, encouraging them, that the Lord is on our side. He's given us this land. Let's go and take it. Don't rebel. And, of course, they would not listen. They wanted to stone Joshua and Caleb. Now, Joshua and Caleb, again, is trying to encourage them to go forth and take the land. We're focusing in on Caleb tonight. We have a sermon on Joshua. We see here in our text already that Caleb has faith and he did not fear. He was trusting in God's promises. He had no fear at this time, even though there were giants in the land. We're going to see later that he took giants out. But he had no fear. And you'll notice that he demonstrates his faith as one of the spies by coming back and giving a report and saying, this land belongs to us. But notice in verse 9, when he sees the giants, notice what he says. He says in verse 9, only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Notice that. They're bread for us. In other words, they're easily eaten. We can easily take them out, Caleb is saying. We can take them out as a man sits down and eats a piece of bread. And then notice he said, and their defense is departed from them. He's saying they have no protection. Caleb is seeing into the spiritual things and what God has said. And the ten spies are looking at the physical and looking at the circumstances. That's the difference. And that's why he had another spirit. He had a different spirit within him. So he says in verse 9, and the Lord is with us, fear them not. So they're encouraging the people, and Caleb is saying that we can go in and take them. I mean, these are some giants in the land, some of them. And as David stood up against Goliath, and he's saying, we can take this by the authority of God and by His Spirit and by His power. Now notice, as we read on a little bit, I'm going to be reading now from verse 11. We find in verse 11, "And the Lord said unto Moses, How long will this people provoke me? And how long will it be ere they believe me? For all the signs which I have showed among them, I will smite them with pestilence and disinherit them, and will make of thee a greater nation and mightier than they." What Moses began doing here, as he did in Exodus 32, he began interceding for them, as we spoke about prayer this morning. Moses begins in verse 13 to intercede. He said, what are the nations going to think? Lord, You're the one that led them out of Egypt. You're the one that promised them this land. And Moses just lays out this thing and says, Lord, I don't think this is good. And he says, Lord, You're long-suffering in verse 18. And then in verse 20, the Lord said, I have pardoned according to Thy word. Now I'm skipping a lot of verses, but I want you to notice that this is called in other places the provocation. He said in verse 11, "And the Lord said unto Moses, How long will this people provoke me?" Let me give you three places this is called the provocation. And it's called that because they provoked the Lord to anger. And He judged them with His wrath. The 10 spies, according to our text and our chapter, they die by a plague. And then the rest of the children of Israel that was 20 years and older, except for Joshua and Caleb, they die in the wilderness over a period of 40 years and never was able to go into the promised land. The only ones that went into the promised land were Joshua and Caleb, and those that were under 20 years of age, 40 years earlier, that grew up, they were the ones that went into the promised land. But it's called the provocation in Psalms 95, verses 8 through 11. And it's called that by the psalmist to encourage the people of his day to not rebel against God. And it's called that again in Hebrews 3, verses 8 through 19, and also Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 3. And the Hebrew writer uses this to encourage the people in the first century. We believe that was Paul that wrote the letter. To encourage the people in the first century, don't rebel against God. You will not enter into His kingdom if you do so. So it is literally called the provocation, because here in verse 11, that he says, how long will this people provoke me? In other words, God was fed up with this nation. And so Moses intercedes for them. And so the Lord said in verse 20, and the Lord said, I have pardoned according to Thy word. Now think about this. Think about this. Moses pleads with God that he would not destroy this nation, and God listens to Moses. Moses was a man as you and I. And he listens to Moses. Now, they did not enter into the land, but he did not kill the entire nation and start over with Moses and Joshua and Caleb. I think that's amazing that God listened to Moses, a servant of the Lord. And I believe that God will listen to you and I today. To brothers and sisters in Christ, I believe that He will listen to us. Now, notice in verse 21, he says, after verse 20, after saying, I have pardoned according to Thy word, Verse 21, but as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. Because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness and have tempted me now these 10 times and have not hearkened to my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoked me see it. Now let me stop here because we're coming back to your text we started with in verse 24. Think about this. These people are going to wander around in the wilderness for 40 years. Now, they saw God's love, mercy, and miracles, right? During those 40 years, think about the manna, the quail, the water out of the rock. But they did not go in to the promised land. God's presence was there with them, the cloud by day and the fire by night. He fed them. The shoes didn't wear out. He took care of them. But they, the elder ones from 20 years and up, they died off. But still yet the Lord fed them and took care of them, but they died off. The wilderness was a period of probation. It's called the church and the wilderness in Acts chapter 7. And the wilderness journey was not only just for the sake of those who rebelled against God, but it's also for those who were growing up that they would learn to trust in God. Deuteronomy 8, verses 1 through 6. The Lord says that He carried them in the wilderness. He mentions three things: to humble them and to prove them and to prepare them. So this next generation, He's using the wilderness to humble them and prove them and to prepare them as they would go into the promised land. The wilderness was a place between Egypt and the promised land, between the bondage and between the promises that was given to them. Now I want to give you a quote that I think is very interesting by another author. I've had this quote for many years. And you might want to make note of it when we think about the wilderness journey. I have an entire sermon, probably 10, maybe 12 years ago, titled The Wilderness Journey. I think I have two sermons somewhat of different titles on the same subject. Here's the quote. And it says, if God never carries us into the wilderness, He would never hear from some of us. I want to read that again. Why is it that we have to spend time in the wilderness? Well, I think this quote sums it up. God, the wilderness was a place that God would humble and to prove and to prepare. Let me read this again one more time. If God never carried us into the wilderness, He would never hear from some of us. That's the truth. If we never experience any kind of problems, any kind of difficulties, if we never ever experience any financial problems or sickness, they are people that would never think of God and would never pray. I hope that we wouldn't be that way, but there are people that would be the case. Now, notice with me in verse 24. Let's come back to our original text. He says here in verse 24, and again, this is God's testimony of His servant. And He said in verse 24, but my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into this land whereunto he went, and his seed shall possess it. First of all, I want you to notice that it is a great honor to be called God's servant. I like that term. I've used it many times. just simply, we're servants of God. That's a humble statement, but it's a great honor that we can be God's servant. And this is in contrast to verses 26 through 37, where he refers to the evil congregation. And verse 29, their carcasses shall fall in the wilderness. In verse 33, they shall wander in the wilderness 40 years. And in verse 35, this is an evil congregation. That's a great contrast. For he says, Caleb is my servant. He has another spirit. He's followed me fully. And I'm going to give him the promise. Took 40 years, but I'm going to give him the promise. And Caleb hung on to those promises. What is interesting is that we find here that he had another spirit. In other words, he had a different spirit, meaning the Holy Spirit is not only in him, but is leading him in God's way to perform God's will. He was different than the 10 spies that came back and gave an evil report. They come back looking at circumstances, speaking in the flesh and saying, we can't take it. The people are greater than us. They're stronger than us. We can't take the land. And so we find that the difference is, as in Romans 8, verses 5 through 16, the Spirit makes the difference. He talks about the flesh and the Spirit in that context. 1 John 5:4, we are overcomers in Christ. Jeremiah 31, Ezekiel 36, God said He'd put His Spirit in us. He'd put His fear in us, in our hearts. He'd put His right, His law in our hearts. He said He would change our hearts from a stony heart to a fleshy heart, that is, a pliable heart. In Romans 8, we find in this chapter, beginning somewhere around verse 5, I want you to just listen to the difference between the flesh and spirit. He said, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the spirit, the things of the spirit. Now here's the difference in Joshua and Caleb and the 10 spies. All they could see is circumstance. All they could see is what they could see with their fleshy eyes. In verse 6, he said, for to be carnally minded is death. And that's what happened in the wilderness. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. Caleb and Joshua had great peace. I'm going to show you that in a moment. More patience than we can even imagine. Verse 7 says, because the carnal mind is the enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. For you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. So it's a clear distinction between the flesh and spirit. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you. Now think of this for a moment. Meditate on this week. The Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in every believer, whether young or old. And He said, and He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. It's not just talking about resurrection. It's talking about getting victory in our bodies by the Spirit of God and the Word of God now. How do I know that? Verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify, that means put to death. That means to kill sin. But it can only be done through the Spirit. Through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. Now listen to this. Verse 14 through 16. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Caleb had another spirit within him. He had a different spirit that bare witness with God, that he belonged to God, and that God had made promises and that he would keep those promises. Now, notice the next thing in verse 24. Not only did Caleb have another spirit, but we find here that it says, "And have followed me fully." That is completely following the Lord, not at a distance or far off. In other words, God wants our whole heart and life. And you know this passage very, very well. Most of you can quote it. But in Romans 12, verse 1 and 2, we have these words. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." We find that God wants us holy. He wants body, soul, and mind. And so it says here in verse 24, "But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him, hath followed me fully." What was it that caused him to follow God fully and completely? It was another spirit. He was walking in the spirit and not in the flesh as the others were. And notice one more thing. Notice the promise. The latter part of this verse, and he says, "Him." Now think about this. This don't come to pass until about 45 years later. That's patience. "Him will I bring into the land whereunto he went, and his seed shall possess it." He makes three major statements about Caleb. About four. He says, he's my servant. He has another spirit. And he has followed me fully. And I'm going to give him the land. Even though you're going to wander around in the wilderness for 40 years, I'm going to give him the land. And his seed, his children and grandchildren, are going to possess that land. Turn with me to Joshua chapter 14. Notice in Joshua chapter 14. Now we're going to move forward now about 40, 45 years when they actually go in to take the land. In Joshua chapter 14, and notice as we come here and read from verses 7 through 12. Now the land that Joshua wanted was Hebron. And we're going to find that he waited 45 years for this moment. I'm just amazed when I'm studying this week and thinking about this. Who would wait 45 years for anything in our society? And listen to this. The mountain, he's 85 years old, by the way. And the mountain, Hebron, that he wanted has giants on it. He's 85 and he said, "I still want to fight them giants." He said, "I'm not through yet." You know what he says to Joshua? As Joshua led them in, there's about, again, 40 years, probably 5 years of battle or so, battles and so forth. We're going to see here in this text in verse 12, he says, "Give me that mountain." That's what he said. The mountains had giants on it. He now goes and asks Joshua for the promised inheritance. Why did he do that? Why did he wait? Because God said, "I'm going to give it to you." Now notice as we read, I'm reading from verse 7 through verse 12. And keep in mind, from verse 6 through 15, the children of Israel is coming into their inheritance. They're all getting their land. But Joshua said, "I want that mountain." He says here in verse 7, in Joshua chapter 14. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet hath trodden shall be thy inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. In verse 10, and now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said. Are you following this? Somebody say hallelujah. And he says, and now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years. This is why I say, you know, the 40-year wilderness, and now they've been doing battle. Even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. 85-year-old man. Think about this. He is now 85 years old, an old man, but still filled with strength to fight. 45 years later, he's waited for this promise patiently. After spending 40 years in the wilderness and 5 years fighting, and he spent 40 years in the wilderness, not because of his sin, but because of the sin of others. But he was patient. He didn't murmur. He didn't complain. He just waited until the day that God would give him the promise. He knew that it would be 40 years. Because God said, you're going to wander here for 40 years. He knew that. He was a courageous old man. And by the way, King Saul, when you read in 1 Samuel 13, all verses about 8 through 14, Samuel, before you ever get to 1 Samuel 15, where that God took the kingdom away from Saul, God told him in chapter 13 he was going to take the kingdom away, because Samuel says that they were going to fight an enemy, Philistines, I believe it was, and Samuel said, I want you to go to this place and I want you to wait so many days and I'll be there. Well, he waited those days, but he didn't finish the day, and he went ahead and sacrificed without Samuel. Samuel said, the kingdom was going to be taken away from you. Caleb waited 45 years, and King Saul couldn't wait 45 minutes. And he lost his kingdom, and Caleb received his promise and his kingdom. What is his secret? His secret was not in the strength of his arms, but in the strength of his spirit. That's where the secret is at. He feared God more than he feared man. He was patient. He spent 40 years in the wilderness because of the rebellion and sin of somebody else. Think about this. Would that make most of us bitter? If we didn't get an inheritance in the promised land with the all the fruit and the trees and the houses and all the things. He is in the will of God and he's happy. And the will of God is the safest place in this world that you can be. You can be anywhere in the world if you're in God's will and you're safe. You're safe there. And Caleb knew that he was safe. He did not allow age or disappointments to hinder his faith. We find that he did not complain to God of God's ways. He could have said, God, just let me go in and have it. They can come in later. He did not complain. He did not lose his zeal in the wilderness. 40 years in the wilderness, going in circles, he did not lose his zeal. Notice now in verses 10 through 12. And now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. And by the way, the Word of God came to Caleb through Moses, through another man. He trusted the prophet of God. It said in this, notice, he said in verse 11, "And yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war." This man's ready to fight. He's ready to do some giant killing. And he says, "Both to go out and to come in." Verse 12, "Now therefore give me this mountain." It was promised him 45 years before. And he's waited. He said, "Now therefore give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou..." And he goes on to claim this mountain. And I'll give you the verses. We'll not turn to them. But in Joshua 15, verse 13 through 15, he took Hebron and drove out the giants. And in Judges 3, verses 7 through 11, his son-in-law became Israel. I think it was Israel's first judge. So he took Hebron, drove out the giants. We think of a few others. Moses was 120 years old when he died, still serving the Lord. Anna, in the New Testament, in the book of Luke, she is 85. Some believe she's older than that. I'm not speculating there, but she's 85 and still serving God, praying and fasting at 85 years of age. Caleb is 85 and he's still wanting to do something for God. He's wanting to be pleasing to God. And this is patience. I mean, this is, I've never, you won't find probably a greater example of patience anywhere in the Scripture. Let me show you where his strength was at. And by the way, let me do one other thing here. Notice in Joshua chapter 21. Joshua chapter 21. And notice in verse 43 through 45, and we'll turn to the book of Isaiah and close. He says in beginning in verse 33, "And the Lord gave unto Israel all the land which he sware to give unto their fathers, and they possessed it and dwelt therein. And the Lord gave them rest round about, according to all that he sware unto their fathers, and there stood not a man of all their enemies before them, and the Lord delivered all their enemies out of their hand." Verse 45. Now, this is the important verse I'm after. "There failed not aught of any good thing which the Lord had spoken unto the house of Israel. All came to pass." Underline that last statement. All came to pass. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 40. Let me show you where Caleb's strength was at, where it was at. Notice here. Now we think about the promises of God. You see that again, by the way, in Joshua 23:14 and 1 Kings 8 and verse 56. Before you really see the promise of God is in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. God made a promise that a Redeemer would come. 4,000 years later, the Savior came. God kept His promise. He kept that promise 4,000 years later. But notice now as we come to Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. Aren't you thankful that we're all alive and still able to serve the Lord? Every day that God gives us is another opportunity, as Caleb would say, to give me that mountain. Let me serve God. Let me do something for God. Every day, you've heard me say this, every day, every morning I get up, first thing I do is thank God for another day. And every night when I lay my head on the pillow, I thank God for the day that He has given me. And I hope that I'll do that till the day I die. I've done it for many, many years. Because every time we wake up in the morning, we got another day to go to work and to serve Him, to be pleasing unto Him, to accomplish something for Him, to be a testimony to others for Christ's sake. And I believe that Caleb was a testimony to all those other Israelites throughout those 40 years in the wilderness. You're familiar with the passage I'm turning to, but here is the strength that Caleb had, and I pray that we all would have the same strength. I said, I'm thankful to be alive. I just said earlier to you, I know of 83 people personally that's died of this COVID virus. I know of probably another 100, 150. It's hard to keep up with. Of people that's come and told me about their relative, their brother, their sister, four or five this week. A man I met 6 months ago in this church in a funeral, I just found out that he died about 4 weeks after that I'd seen him from the same virus. So I'm very grateful that God has given me another day. And even if we're not running at 100% what we think we should be, I am thankful to be alive. I am thankful to be alive. Notice as we come here and close, we're reading the last few verses of Isaiah chapter 40. And by the way, He'll take us home when our mission is accomplished on this earth. He'll take us home and we will receive all the promises and glory. There's promises here, but we'll receive all the promises and glory. Would you stand with me as we read this last passage? Verse 28 through 31. This is Caleb's strength and this is our strength. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of all the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of His understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might He increases strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Father, we thank Thee for this evening, for this time together. Thank You for Your mercy, Your kindness, and Your grace to us. Lord, help us to learn from the life of Caleb. And Lord, that we're to cling to Your promises, to never, ever turn loose of them. Lord, to not become weary and to murmur and to complain. But Lord, to keep our eyes upon Your Word and Your truth. Lord, we thank You for this day. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.